You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each postseason edition of MLB At The Plate. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Welcome to the MLB At The Plate World Series postgame podcast. Alongside J.P. Arencibia, I'm Holden Kushner. The Houston Astros are one win away from their first World Series title after winning one of the wildest games of the 2017 postseason in a 13-12 victory over the Dodgers to take that 3-2 series lead. Former Dodgers GM Ned Coletti and Astros broadcaster Jeff Blum helped JP and I break down the action from Game 5. I know the players are tired, the fans are tired, I'm a little bit tired. JP, this was a absolute marathon masterpiece, and 13-12, the Astros get the win. They have a 3-2 series lead. Take it from here, my friend.
Oh, take it from there. Just breathe it in. Baseball. Yeah. Wow. If people do not enjoy the game of baseball after this World Series, they are missing out on a game. I don't care if you think the balls are juiced or what it may be, but the back and forth. I mean, my wife is just sitting there, and she is at her heart's at her throat, and you know it's fun to watch her get into the game. So, again, this is what this World Series has done to everybody. And if there's somebody that I've heard is one of the most confident guys on the planet, it's Alex Bregman, and he got it done.
He did it again. I mean, he's a kid, too. This is his first full season in the majors, and right now he just keeps getting to Kenley Jansen. This is not the first time. It's the second time he got to Kenley Jansen. And I don't even want to put this on Kenley Jansen. I mean, this is more about – I don't even know what this is about. This is about home runs. I'll tell you what this is about. Home runs, fly balls that are about 350 feet going out in left field. You've just got offense and offense and offense, and guys just stepping up constantly back and forth and back and forth. It really is tough to match the drama of what we just saw in this game. And the bottom line is this. This has been an insane series. Probably, I mean, it is one of the most enjoyable series I can remember. Now, keep hearing, oh, isn't this the best game you ever seen? No. Well, I mean, Game 7 last year was pretty damn good, okay? There's been some great baseball games, but I am enjoying this every bit as much as any game that I've seen this year, last year, or at any point in time. This is remarkable, JP. It is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And what's even just so special, one thing, the game of baseball, remember way back five hours or something ago, we were talking about how it would be a low-scoring game because you had Dallas Keuchel going against Clayton Kershaw. And all of a sudden, it ends as a 13-12 game. I mean, it continues to go back and forth, man. It just reminds me of kind of like a boxing match that two dudes just continue, the Rocky and Ivan Drago. They just go back and forth and back and forth. And at the end, somebody has to give. But, you know, Kenley Jansen, again, is his second time that he's gone out for two innings, and it's kind of fired back, fired up against him. And Brandon Morrow, you know, he's going on fumes. He goes out there and he gives up four runs without getting an out. I mean, there's so many different events in this game that happened. But, again, you have to just tip your hat. Astros' bullpen has been terrible. But they've still been able to outscore their bad bullpen.
Well, they're less terrible tonight. Seriously, they're less terrible. The Dodgers' bullpen, which had gone, 28 straight scoreless innings, they have not really lived up to the task here over the last 3-4 games. You know, they've been a pedestrian as well. So on paper, or we look at this, we look at what the Houston bullpen has done. It's been awful. But the Dodgers bullpen was every bit as bad tonight. And really, Davinsky going out and getting four outs, it's like he gave up the three runs. But even though he blew the save and gave up three runs in the top of the ninth inning, it's almost like the four outs were more important, just keeping them alive so that he didn't give up the lead so that they could get to the 10th inning and then Musgrove taking care of business. This is just so many different things that we're looking at. Dallas Keuchel, 86 pitches. Clayton Kershaw was staked to a 4-0 lead and he didn't get through the fifth. Are you kidding me? 4 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 6 runs, 3 walks. I mean, nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw anything coming tonight, unless you thought the Astros were going to win. Nobody saw anything that could have transpired tonight. Absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Both starting pitchers didn't pitch well. I mean, neither one of them got to the fifth inning or through the fifth inning tonight. Keuchel went 3 2/3. Kershaw went 4 2/3. And then if you want to look at it from a positive, I mean, Cody Bellinger with a triple and a home run. You've got Forsyth and Puig with the big home run to get things going in the ninth inning. Altuve drove in 4. Correa and Gurriel each drove in 3. There's so much great to love about this. There's so much bad that you accept about it. And I guess when it's all said and done, the Astros are now 1 win away from winning the World Series.
Yeah, and thankfully for the Dodgers, they're coming back home. Obviously, we've seen firsthand throughout the entire series how important home field advantage is. So the good thing is by winning the most games in baseball, you're able to come home and play in front of your home crowd. So we'll see how that goes. But, man, this game was just from the beginning. If you would have told me that Clayton Kershaw had the ball with a 3-0, when it was 3-0 after the first inning, I said, that's it, game's over, cruise control, this dude's gonna just mow him down. Not the case. Keuchel comes back, they score whatever, so then he gets another lead, 7-4. So okay, now Kershaw's gonna settle in and he is not gonna look back. That wasn't the case. 3-run homer. It's just like nonstop action in this game. And it's almost like the last man that had, you know, that's the good thing about in these games when you're the home team. It's the last person that's up is usually going to win this game. So that was good. And another thing is the biggest thing to me that was crazy about tonight is how bad Bill Miller was behind the dish. They still were able to score that many runs because when an umpire is that bad behind the plate, usually they're low-scoring games.
All right, Ned Colletti joins us from Minute Maid Park right now. Ned and I and JP were going back and forth on text. I was saying maybe 15 runs will win it. Ned saying 11. Well, it went right in the middle, Ned. 13 runs decided this game. And, you know, the Astros bullpen has not been able to hold on to a lead. But here was just a war of attrition, and it didn't work out for the Dodgers tonight either. This was just an anomaly of a game. Just give me some of your thoughts.
Well, I heard JP talking about Clayton tonight. You know, his record coming into tonight, whenever the team has given him 4 runs. Now, I'm not involved in the decision tonight, but when he's been involved in a decision and the Dodgers score 4 runs, he was 101. And the one happened to be in the postseason against St. Louis a few years ago. So typically, you start out the game like the Dodgers started out the game, and like JP said, he's usually cruising, but he gave him 7 runs tonight and really could not hold a game when he had a 4-0 lead and then was up again 7-4 right away. You know, that inning when Houston comes up and ties it, and the next thing you know, the Dodgers come back and get 3. Those innings are usually killers for the team that just gave the lead back up. But boy, oh boy, you give both teams so much. I give them a ton of credit. Bullpens are blown out, both sides. Dodgers come back with 3 at the end in the ninth inning. I mean, it's one of those games that if you script it out, you took it to Hollywood, they'd say, let's make it a little bit more realistic because nobody's going to believe this is what happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were talking about before the games, scripting out a situation. There's no way that anybody could have even come close to scripting out.
Oh, no.
What happened tonight. But what part of the script, though, from what I understood, and obviously this is just the media speaking, I feel like, but I thought Brandon Morrow was going to be off limits tonight just because of all the work that he's had this World Series. Is it a thing where you think that, you know, they got that lead and all of a sudden it was like, man, we can't let go of this lead. We have to still go back to that well? Or was that a possibility from the beginning?
Hard to say. I think it's tough in this time of year to ever put somebody away and say you're never going to use them because you don't know what is going to come up. And, you know, this guy's pitched in, I think, every game of the World Series. and really did not have much tonight. You know, Houston attacked. Boy, they attacked offensively. But, you know, it's when you're at this time of the year, it's tough to shut somebody down. But then again, you know, you do pay the price, and then he did not. He has been really good. Next to Kenley Jansen, he's been the best reliever they've had all season long. Somebody that's really dependable. But again, you know, you're talking about a long season. You're talking about four World Series games previous to this, including the last two nights, and it's tough to get that third one going. And you know, you saw the same thing a little bit with Kenley Jansen tonight. You know, he pitched last night and gave up the home run to Bregman in the ninth in a five-run game. And then tonight, I think his 30th, 31st pitch, Bregman singles to score Fisher, and the game's over. But, you know, Kenley is usually sharper than that, too. But, you know, we saw it last year in the World Series, too, in that seventh game. Guys exert so much during the season and in the postseason. You get to this time, now we're sitting and looking at game six in another 36 hours, 48 hours, whatever it is. And you know, it's tough to find guys that are fresh. There's nobody there right now.
Yeah, and it's like that for both teams. How important is it now? Obviously, you have the day off, travel back, but you have a bullpen that is completely gassed, it seems like, and you have a Rich Hill who last time got taken out, you know, pretty early at this point, coming into the game six. Is it now their backs a little bit against the wall, especially with what happened tonight, that they're going to have to ride Rich Hill a little bit longer than they would have if it would have been otherwise?
Well, perhaps, but they've also got Alex Wood back there. If they want to keep Darvish for a game seven possibility, they do have Alex Wood, who has been pretty good this year. And, you know, he can give you some length. He can replace Maeda. Maeda didn't pitch that much today, although, you know, the more people have seen Maeda, the more they kind of figure him out a little bit. He's got great slider that causes a lot of swing and miss, kind of like Charlie Morton, and that a lot of his swing and miss on pitches that are really out of the zone. And as they made him throw strikes tonight, they were able to get to him. But they do have Alex Wood tomorrow, not tomorrow, but on Tuesday night. You know, look at the Houston bullpen now, too. And, you know, they've got to figure out what they're going to do, because McCullers may be the guy that can shut this Dodger team down after Verlander. But if you fail at that, who's pitching game seven? So game six, all these games are so interesting, so exciting, so much offense. But I think both teams are going to be in a wait-and-see type of mode to see what they do. Dodgers obviously have to win the game. They have to use everybody. And they have to get through it and figure out a way to really script it out as best they can and come out against Verlander, who's got a chance to win the World Series for Houston. You know, Tuesday night is going to be an amazing, amazing game.
Again, we just witnessed a game that we'll never see anything like it. You don't see two games ever like each other, but this was something else. I mean, this series, we've got a 2 hour and 28 minute gem. We got a 5 hour and 17 minute masterpiece. It really is amazing. And, you know, for the Astros side, Bregman continues to shock me. What this kid does time and time again. Yeah, he had a cup of coffee last year, now his rookie year. Alex Bregman has just solidified himself in the record books with the Houston Astros for a long, 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 long time. What has impressed you about Bregman this season and really specifically in this series, Ned?
Well, his ability to come up in the clutch and do something. I mean, to calm his pulse down and do what he did. And his defense. Remember the play he made in the seventh game of the LCS to throw the runner out of the plate? It was almost impossible. But the throw was perfect on the little infield hit. And you saw it again tonight, where he made another great play. You know, this kid is obviously a very high pick, number two in the country, but has really come on quickly and on the biggest stage. But look at that Houston team. How big was Springer tonight? You have that misplay in center field that costs a run and puts a runner on third base, and you know you got to be down. That's almost gonna if they end up losing this game, he'd be watching that for 50 years. But, you know, they win the game, so that's going to be a footnote. But he jumps on the first pitch the next inning and ties the game after giving it up like that. How clutch do you have to be able to do that? Because let's face it, you know, you're feeling down. You're feeling like, you know, you just messed up a game. and, you know, kind of got caught in between on the line drive. You know, tough. The toughest, JP can tell you, you know, the toughest plays for an outfielder, the line drives right at him. And he took kind of a misstep right out to read the hit, and then was like a little bit in between. Do I dive? Do I play it cautious? Dove, and the ball goes back to the wall. And so now you're down by a run. You got Bellinger on third base, and they get out of it. And the first pitch he sees, he hits on the train tracks. I mean, it's like that showed me how strong he is mentally to be able to do that. And then you got Altuve with what he does every night, and then you got Correa. You know, that this is, you know, well, when they were losing 100 and some games here, this was the payday at the other end. Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Correa, on and on. And they've got themselves a very, very good young offensive team. I still don't trust the bullpen. I think any time that there's a lead and you're going to that bullpen, it's going to be a tough watch for A.J. Hinch. They're hanging on. Unless they use McCullers in Game 6, and Verlander's got himself a little bit of a lead after 6 or 7. But it's going to set up some interesting dynamics. If the game is close, it's going to set up some very interesting dynamics for Houston. I still like the Dodgers' chances in this series because of the Houston bullpen. And really, they don't really put guys away. Hitters sometimes get themselves out. But right now, they are, you know, they're up 3-2, mainly because of the offense.
I think they dropped the ball, Godfather, on that first pitch. I think, you know, as a catcher, you know this is the guy that made a huge mistake, and all of a sudden he's up next first inning. I think they obviously Brandon Morrow attacks, but I think they had to know that, yep, he was kind of going to come out of his shoes to try to make up for it. But
you're right. Something soft would have been, you know, he's got a great slider, Morrow. And he threw that thing off the plate. You know, Bregman's come out of his shoes, like you say. It's strike one.
Yeah, but the good thing here's I think some positives for the Dodgers is one of them is the way Bellinger is starting to swing the bat. And if you are a Dodger fan, obviously this is a guy who was quiet and all of a sudden he's starting to get going. They're coming back to where they all like to hit. I know Justin Turner really hasn't had much luck, but he's been hitting the ball on the screws and taking some good swings. So they have to be excited to be coming back home and for Bellinger to start, you know, swinging the bat the way he has been.
Yeah, it's the best he's swung for a while. You know, this series is far from over. There's no doubt. And, you know, for Houston, in my opinion, for Houston to win one of the next two games, they're going to need a huge lead. And I'm not sure that's going to be possible against Hill or against Darvish or against a combination or whoever else is brought in. Because Alex Wood can neutralize the team. One thing about Houston, though, they are really strong right-handed. And if Wood does get in that game, his slider is going to have to be his out pitch because it is a back foot slider to right-handed hitters. And the more velo he's got, the crisper it is. But it's going to be a very interesting Tuesday night. I tell you what, it's been a classic World Series. And yep, I don't think that the classicness isn't going to go away on Tuesday night.
Been terrific. A lot of fun. Thanks, Ned. Appreciate the time, buddy. Have a safe flight back.
You're welcome. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, good stuff there. Ned Colletti joining us again. The final score tonight, 13-12, the Astros over the Dodgers. And now the Astros have a 3-2 series lead. So when we came into this, we were talking, really even coming into the World Series, we said, gosh, you know, the bullpen, that's the big issue for the Astros, and the Dodgers are going to have such an advantage there. But really, is it that much of an advantage right now, given that we're going to go into a game number 6 here? Morrow was completely gassed, and you can't tell me. I mean, one day is probably going to help him, but he threw five the first five games of the series. So major question as to whether or not he's going to be able to be effective. Cingrani gave up a run tonight. Kenley has shown that the Astros have gotten to Kenley Jansen every time he's come in, he's given up a run. Again, I think there's some questions in the Dodger bullpen where I don't feel that great on that side as well. I feel better than I would be if I'm the Astros fan rooting for that bullpen, but it's not like the Dodgers bullpen is anywhere near as good when they had that 28 straight scoreless inning streak. They're pedestrian at this point.
Yeah, I think the pedestrian part too has to do with, you know, you go to the well so many times, and listen, you have to because these guys have been so good, but I think that's something that teams are going to have to look at too, is eventually if you just completely annihilate three guys day in and day out, day in and day out. Because let's be honest, it's really three people. It goes Maeda, Mauro, Jansen. Maeda, Watson for one third of an inning. Maeda, Jansen. You know, it's like nonstop, these guys every single time. So, you know, 90 people think from 98 to 96 or 98 to 95 isn't a big deal, but as a hitter, it's a very big deal, especially when you face the guy. That 3 miles an hour difference is that little oomph on that fastball, the little finish at the plate that either you're popping it up, you're fouling it off, or like George Springer is doing, he's hitting it off the train tracks. So that's the tough part.
All right, Plummer's with us. Jeff Plum out at Minute Maid Ballpark. Hey, Plummer, how you doing, buddy? How you feeling?
Dude, I'm tired, man.
So am I. That is awesome. How much? All right, give me the range of emotions. Instead of saying how much fun, because I'm sure a lot of it was fun, but not all of it was fun.
Was terrible.
Yeah.
No, that was it. Was I mean, it was great. It was fun. It was awful. It was exciting. It was miserable. It was infuriating. It was baseball. It was unbelievable.
Oh my goodness, I'm tired as well. I think other than the home runs and everything else that went on, the best part of the night was the gentleman taking the ball from the girl who caught it on the first row from Puig's home run. Yes. And threw it back into the field. I think that's the highlight of the night. But again, talk about just the resilience of this team. Obviously, you're around these guys. You know these guys well. Bregman, I've heard nothing but this guy being borderline cocky, almost to the point where it's annoying, but it's just that confidence that it doesn't really rub you the wrong way. And when he came up in that situation, I told my wife, if anybody can do it, it's this kid right here. Talk about Alex Bregman and how he can do that at such a young age.
No, you're exactly right about Alex Bregman being that guy. I've said it all year long that he's got this twinge of arrogance about him that kind of drives you nuts a little bit, but you want him on your team. I'm not sure what it stems from, but everything that I know about Alex Bregman and everything I've heard from people around him is that, you know, there's gym rats, guys that are just in the gym getting jacked out of their minds and being freakishly strong. Alex Bregman is a baseball rat. He is constantly in the batting cage. He's constantly taking ground balls. He's constantly watching video. He's constantly talking it. That's all this guy talks about. So he is baseball in the purest sense of the form, that he wants to win so bad and he wants to be in those situations. I'm not sure if it goes back to the LSU days. I don't know what kind of baseball they were playing in New Mexico where he grew up, but somewhere inside of him, he was struck by a lightning bolt that said that he wants to be that guy. And he's come through in some very big spots for the Houston Astros. And what's great about him, too, just to give you a little bit of insight in the clubhouse, is he's the guy that walks in the clubhouse and he'll say before the game, I'm going to win this ball game, boys. Get on my back. And everybody to a man will rip him to there on out, and then eventually he does it. So he's a guy that talks the talk and walks the walk.
Yeah, that's awesome. And those are the kind of guys that you're like, dude, shut up. And then he just gets it done. So, again, then you're happy that he's on your team because he does believe it. Again, you look across this infield and you see some of these great players. Which one today, home run-wise, you have Correa, you have Bregman, you have all these guys on that team. What was the loudest home run today that was hit as far as the crowd answering back?
Jose Altuve with the home run to left center field to tie it up at 7 by far was the loudest. The chance of MVP going on during the AB and to have him hit that home run foul. And JP, you and I both have hit home runs foul and ended in strikeouts.
Yeah.
So you know how hard it is.
Yeah, well, all the time, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it happens more often than not. But to have him hit that home run foul in the World Series and then to come back and answer and get a similar pitch, stay on it and drive it out the left center field, arguably one of the deeper parts of that ballpark, that lid on that juice box was about ready to pop off. That was insanely loud.
I mean, this is a game that will never be forgotten in Houston sports lore is what I'm thinking. I mean, there's been some great games there. And, you know, I remember the Rockets winning a couple championships. And, of course, I'm sure the Oilers had some nice times. But this is something else here. Bregman in a 13-12 ball game, Blummer. This was a game that I don't think any of us are ever going to forget. We'll be looking back at it. And now, here you go. How about 13 home runs for the Astros this series? Let's talk about that ballpark real quick, because I do believe the balls are juiced. But can we also say that there's a whole bunch of 350-foot home runs going out in Houston that would go out nowhere else? It's just the way the ballpark plays, right?
No, it is. You know, left field for me is a little egregious with a 315 down the line with, you know, a 16, 17-foot high wall out there. And, you know, the both teams have to play on it. Both teams have to pitch to it. Both teams have to swing to it. So I'm not saying it's an even playing field for both, because mentally sometimes teams come in and they get blown away by it. You'll see right-handed hitters absolutely open up the front side because they're trying to launch into that train track. And other times you'll see pitchers come in, visiting pitchers, and pitch completely to the outside corner and get wasted because the home team Astros will use the entire field. But it is what it is. It's the nature of the beast. It's a part of baseball now. And now you add that juice baseball that we're talking about. Maybe they'll put a humidor in this place in the next month or so.
You know, Mr. the man in the train, Bobby up there, the conductor,
Bobby Dynamite.
Yeah, Bobby Dynamite today. He has to be tired. My question is one, do the people who are not baseball fans in Houston think we're under attack? And have people lost their hearing in that stadium today because of all the cannons going off?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that really wish they would have brought their earmuffs to this game because, yeah, they're going to wake up tomorrow and they're not going to have to wake up to the alarm because their ears are going to be ringing. But yeah, Bobby Dynamite, there might be a recommendation that up in that train, he might need to get a helmet contract for a little protection up there, because he was getting shot at left and right.
You know what I was – we got to let you go, but last one for you. Do you remember any of the home runs in Game 3? Do you remember noticing any of the Dodgers just getting freaked out at the first cannon? Because I always feel like there's players that haven't played there before that all of a sudden they hear that, they probably want to duck for cover.
No, it's happened several times, especially throughout the course of the season. But I think they added a little extra pop to those things in the World Series just because of the crowd noise. But it's happened many a time, and there were a couple times in that Game 3, you're right. Just the pop that goes off, and guys, you know, they put their head down, and all of a sudden, guys, like literally on the field, will flinch. It's not an easy noise to get accustomed to at all.
All right. Dave Blummer, thanks, buddy. Take care of yourself, and enjoy Game 6.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, it'll be interesting to say the least.
No doubt about it. All right, Jeff Blum joining us, Houston Astros analyst on television. Of course, our coworker here at MLB at the Plate. JP, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll give our best day ever. We got a few other things to take care of as well. Again, the final score from Houston tonight. Alex Bregman's walk-off single gives the Astros a 13-12 victory over the Dodgers and a 3-2 series lead. Overall, this is MLB at the Plate World Series postgame.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. Tomorrow's headlines before they go to print.
I've just been handed some great reporting.
Tomorrow's questions before anyone's asked them.
Could you make an obstruction case?
Tomorrow's conversation tonight.
Who is there to stand up to the boss and speak truth to power?
Not a single person.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. More than the day that was, it's the day that will be. Weeknights at 11 Eastern on MSNBC.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
It was quite an interesting game, to say the least. It looked like the Dodgers were going to run away with this thing up 4-0. Clayton Kershaw was on a roll. The Astros battled back with four in the bottom of the fourth. And before you know it, they're tied at 12 in the bottom of the 10th, and Bregman walking it off right there. Lots to talk about pitching-wise, so let's do that as we throw like a pro, presented by National Car Rental.
It's time for Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. This is where we take a moment to spotlight individuals, key late game situations, or entire bullpens to open up for discussion. Go National, go like a pro.
I feel like we had about 3.5 hours of key late game situations, JP. So instead of going through every single one of those, let's just rehash some of the things that happened here in the bullpen after Keuchel goes just 3 2/3 innings, gave up 4 runs, 3 earned. Let's talk about it. They're turning it over to the Houston bullpen. You're saying to yourself, this game's probably over, right?
No doubt.
Yep. At least you could admit that. And I'm saying the same thing. I'm going, oh, boy. You know, the good thing for the Astros is they'll have Verlander on in game number 6. But, you know, for this, for Gregerson to come in, then McHugh gave up 3 runs. Peacock gave up another couple of runs. Everybody was giving up runs tonight, with the exception of Joe Musgrove, who came in and took care of his business. And then the other side of things with the Dodgers, shockingly, Kershaw gave up the 6 runs in 4 2/3. But Brandon Morrow, and let me tell you this, Dave Roberts said Brandon Morrow came to him and asked him to pitch in game number 5. How many times have players gone to the manager and say, okay, I can do this, and then the manager, because the manager knows better, says, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do what's best for the team, what's best for you. I just think using Brandon Morrow in that situation, it was a horrible move. I was completely shocked he put him in there.
Yeah, but you also have to go with your players as well. I mean, I understand part of the manager is, you know, not having to say yes. But, you know, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm good to go, I can go out there and pitch, and he's been one of your horses, it's tough to say that you're not going to, you know, stay with him. So, I mean, I know, listen, I think that Brandon should have gotten the day off. Obviously, I wish they would have said, hey, man, you're going to be more important for us game 6, you know, instead of this game tonight, because we need you to have your rest. And then, you know, knowing that there's an off day, he had a couple days rest, you know, he's a type 1 diabetic. It's tough for him to recover. But again, you can't, it's tough to, like, just shut down somebody who wants to go out there and compete and put it on the line for your team. And he really hasn't shown you any signs of slowing down. Because remember his last outing, even we were talking, you said that maybe he's out of gas, and all of a sudden he's you know, striking out the side. So, I mean, that's a tough thing to swallow right there. And, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation, obviously, if he just went out there and had a good inning. But unfortunately, he didn't.
But he didn't. I mean, and again, you know, as the manager, and you've said this so many times, and you brought up the type 1 diabetes. This guy's been through so much physically. You're just playing with fire when you're putting him in that often. And you really got to wonder if Roberts turns to him again in game 6 if needed. That's a lot of work for a guy to be in 5 straight games of World Series. All right, so we move on to the other side of things. And there's 2 guys that didn't get in tonight's game, Francisco Liriano and Kenny Giles for the Astros. And I don't know what Liriano has to do to get into the game. But we do know about Ken Giles, and if there's somebody that's at the end of the line, and we learned it tonight, there is absolutely no faith in Ken Giles right now from A.J. Hinch. So he's going with everybody else. And I guess when you look at the bullpen now, Peacock, Davinsky, and Musgrove would be the 3 go-to guys. Would you agree with that?
I mean, no doubt. I think that those are the guys over everybody else. But for me as well, and I think that they could have a very, very good piggyback if they have the lead and can ride McCullers out. I mean, we may be talking about game 6 and the Dodgers going down if they get a lead and they run out McCullers behind Verlander.
Yep. But here's the only thing I'm concerned about. We can talk about game 6 here in just a few minutes. But again, the bullpen tonight, Musgrove ends up getting the win. You know, we talk about killing the win. The win's not good. Musgrove had been beaten up early in the series, but he came in tonight and he got the job done, leading to the bottom of the ninth or bottom of the 10th inning with the Bregman walk-off. So that is Throw Like a Pro.
That was Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
All right, let's move on here and get our best day ever home run tracker and statistically speaking.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Is there a pitcher you would give best day ever to?
I mean, you have to kind of give it to Musgrove.
I mean,
he went he got the win, and he went an inning, and he didn't give up a run, so that was pretty big. Anybody that towed that rubber pretty much gave a run up, so I give it to Musgrove.
Yep, best day ever right there. He got the win in the craziest game that we've seen in these playoffs, 13-12, Astros over the Dodgers, and the best day ever at the plate's got to be Bregman. Had a couple of hits, the most important one, the walk-off single in the bottom of the 10th inning. Let's get all the home run news out there with our home run tracker.
MLB at the plate, home run tracker.
It seemed like there were more than seven home runs, but there were seven home runs tonight. Yuli Gurriel's went 389, Cody Bellinger 378, Jose Altuve 415 with a 105 exit velo. George Springer smoked his home run. He did not get cheated. 448 feet, 112 miles an hour off the bat. Correa went just 328. I mean, that was literally just a pop fly. Crawford boxes. Brian McCann 363 and Yasiel Puig 349. Statistically speaking time.
Statistically speaking.
This was the 57th walk-off in World Series history. 57 times a team has walked off to win. Clayton Kershaw has given up a major league record 8 home runs this postseason. The Astros are the first team in major league history to have 5 different players hit a home run in a World Series game. How about that? 101 home runs in the 2017 postseason, 21 hit in the World Series, the most by far in major league history. There's been 16 game-tying hits with a team down to the last out in World Series history. The 2017 Dodgers have 2 of them. Let's not forget about the Dodgers and their feat here. The Astros over the Dodgers, 13-12 on the Bregman walk-off. The Astros have a 3-2 series lead, Game 6 in L.A. coming up in, I guess technically it's tomorrow since it's 2:25 a.m. Monday out here in the East Coast. JP, though, you sent out a great video there on Twitter with the home run. But who hit the home run in which the Astros fan threw it back on the field? Do you remember who hit it?
Puig. Puig.
Oh, it was Puig's home run?
Yeah.
God, I don't blame the guy for throwing it back. Anyways, if you didn't see the video, JP has it at JP or in CB on Twitter, but a lady catches the ball and standing there with her husband, her brother-in-law takes the ball out of her hand, throws it back onto the field. So we found out what that was. And now they're talking about the brother-in-law having to give the sister-in-law, the wife, the lady that caught the ball, a Nolan Ryan signed bat and ball. Do you think that is equal trade? I do not. I love Nolan Ryan. I think he's great, but there's nothing like that ball. I can't believe he threw it back.
Yeah, no, but it's still, that's going to make for like one of the best all-time like blooper videos of all time. I mean, that was great, especially since the girl, it's not the lady that threw it back. It wasn't her husband that threw it back. It was her husband's brother. So it's great. I mean,
that's just horrible. That's absolutely horrible. That would have been brother-on-brother fight right there. That's all I can say. Game 6 coming up. So here we go. We got Justin Verlander, who has not been happy with the baseball, says he can't get a good grip on it. His slider hasn't been working. So that's that. And then he's going up against Rich Hill. Do you think there is something to the ball being slick for Verlander, and maybe there should be a little bit of concern going into that game with him on the mound?
No, I don't think that they should be concerned. I do think that it will probably be slick, especially since he's out here in the dry weather too. It's probably going to play even a little bit more slick with his hands being dried. But again, they'll figure out a way, I promise you, to make it feel a little stickier his next time out.
And then Rich Hill going to the mound. He looked good in his first start and got pulled early. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes a little deeper this time, just because the bullpens have been worked so hard so far in this series.
Yeah, they're gonna need one of those games that Rich Hill can go out there and just dominate, at least into the eighth inning. Thankfully, they have one day off, which will help a lot. But, man, they are needing in the dire need of a good Rich Hill start.
Yep. Speaking of big league pitchers, they got a lot of options when it comes to standard control on the mound, but when it comes to you and business travel, there's only one true choice for total control. National Car Rental. You're always the ace when you're a member of the Emerald Club. You can skip the counter, choose any car in the aisle, and go. You can even pick a full size and above. You'll only pay the mid-size price. So when you take them out for your next business trip, take control, go with National, and be guaranteed to have a little more payoff in your pitch. Take control. Go with National Car Rental. Go National. Go like a pro. That's it for the MLB at the Plate World Series post-game podcast. We're Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio. JP here and CB alongside me. I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listen-ins, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.